last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas are with us, but before we hear from them, let's hear a little bit of the Canadian Prime Minister, Mark Carney, as he started the press conference with Donald Trump in the Oval Office in the White House, which is still underway.
But thank you for your hospitality and above all for your leadership. You're a transformational president, focus on the economy with a relentless focus on the American worker, securing your borders, ending the scourge of fentanyl and other opioids, and securing the world. And I've been elected with my colleagues here, with the help of my colleagues here. I'm going to spread the credit. To transform Canada with a similar focus on the economy, securing our borders, again on fentanyl, much greater focus on defense and security, securing the Arctic and developing the Arctic. And, you know, the history of Canada and the U.S. is we're stronger when we work together, and there's many opportunities to work together, and I look forward to, you know, addressing some of those issues that we have, but also finding those areas of mutual cooperation so we can move forward.
Very nice. Thank you very much.
Maybe a bit of unexpected sucking up by Mark Carney, the new Canadian Prime Minister there, given what Donald Trump has been threatening Canada with for some months now, including wanting to take it over. But in the last few minutes, Mark Carney has said, as you know from real estate, there are some places that are never for sale. We are sitting in one right now. Having met with the owners of Canada over the course of the campaign the last several months, it's not for sale. It won't be for sale ever. To which Marion McKeown, I believe Trump said, never say never. But was this Mark Carney firmly putting down a marker after being initially very polite?
Yeah, you know what? I think it would be foolish for Trump indeed to underestimate Mark Carney. If you look at the record, as we know in journalism, he had a formidable record as the governor of Bank of England and you know, easing through Brexit and previously in Canada, which virtually escaped the 2008 meltdown, global financial meltdown. He's an extremely smart man. He knows a lot about economies. He really pulled the election out of the bag. He could thank Trump in large part, I suppose, for actually being Prime Minister because his conservative opponent was on a glide path until Trump started laying into Canada and saying he was going to take over Canada and calling Justin Trudeau governor and all that nonsense about the 51st state. So in no small part his position that he's in today is due to Trump's stupidity and crassness. I think that he will be quite careful. He's got a fine needle to thread there, because the conservatives are going to say, oh, you're kowtowing to Trump. But the fact is, if the Canadian economy takes a downturn, and he will be blamed for that as well. I think he's sort of weaving the, you know, doing what needs to be done, being polite and seeming conciliatory, but at the same time saying, look, enough of this nonsense. We'll see how it all plays out. Trump is a tricky opponent.
And I believe Cal Thomas said before the arrival of Mark Carney at the White House that Trump was at it, not waiting until he had Carney face to face, but issuing statements on Truth Social again, essentially threatening Canada.
Yeah, well, first I want to welcome Marion back. Marion, you have been missed. I mean, Larry was fine for a full fill-in, but there's nobody like you, Marion. So welcome
back.
Thank you, Kyle. Glad to have you.
Yes.
Now, with respect to that Truth Social posting where he was insulting Carney and Canada, this is not something you do before you have a guest come to your house. Matt, I've been to your house, and you never insulted me before I came. You may have done so afterwards, but that's another issue. Now, Carney's soundbite you just played, this is what politicians do, and especially because I know he studied Trump. He knows that Trump responds to flattery, and so he's crediting him with making the world a safer place. He's crediting him with a stronger military. We're going to do a lot of things in Canada that you did. The fact is, though, that Trump helped him win the election. Trump also helped the Australian government, the new Liberal government, win that election. And I think a case can be made that the new Prime Minister of the UK has his position in part because of his antipathy toward Trump. So Trump's doing a great job with electing other people, but I'm not so sure that it's going down so well here.
But where is the relationship with Canada going to go, do you reckon, Cal? Trump is saying things like, you know, we don't need your lumber, we don't need your oil, we don't need anything you export to us. You're only existing because we're providing defence for you. We're giving you $200 billion a year. Where is he getting all this stuff from?
Yeah,
it just flies in the face of reality.
Absolutely right, Matt. Absolutely right. Look, we're joined at the hip. We're like Siamese twins. We've got a common border. Canada and the United States export and import a lot of materials. We do need lumber. We do need energy. All this braggadocio by Trump is just not true. And I think when we get through this, we're going to see some kind of an agreement on something. And so Trump can claim credit on the tariffs, and so Carney can make some take some credit home to Canada when he goes. This is the way things could do. And, you know, Trump just announced, I don't know if you heard this or not, he's going to make a major, major announcement by the end of the week or by Monday. He won't say what it is, but he's off to the Middle East, and I think it has something to do with that. He did say today, though, that the Houthis in Yemen have agreed to stop bombing and attacking ships, but they didn't say anything about stopping bombing of Israel. So half a loaf.
Well, one of the things that has commanded attention in recent days has been during the time when the Catholic Church is still in mourning for the death of Pope Francis before the conclave tomorrow, Trump's own social media account posted a photograph of him, AI-generated photograph of Donald Trump as the Pope. Let's hear how Trump responded to the question about people being upset by that.
They can't take a joke. You don't mean the Catholics. You mean the fake news media. Not the Catholics loved it. I had nothing to do with it. Somebody made up a picture of me dressed like the Pope, and they put it out on the Internet. That's not me that did it. I have no idea where it came from. Maybe it was AI, but I know nothing about it. I just saw it last evening. Actually, my wife thought it was cute. She said, isn't that nice?
My question about
actually, I would not be able to be married, though. That would be a lot. I'd have to the best of my knowledge, popes aren't big on getting married, are they? Not that we know of, no. No, I think it's the fake news media that, you know, they're fakers.
Mary McKeown, did the Catholics love it?
Oh, you know, and cue the craven laughter in the background. This is a waste of time. This whole story is ridiculous. You know, listening to Trump there, this post, where did people see it? They saw it on his social media, on his Truth Social, on the White House social media accounts. That's where it was posted. And then he says, like a schoolyard bully who's caught giving somebody a kicking, oh, I had nothing to do with that. I had nothing to do with that. I mean, just like he's like just a blob of jelly. He has no spine when he is called on things. And, you know, I'm not that offended by it, to be honest. I could care less, frankly. If he wants to dress himself up in robes, have at it, knock yourself out. I'd say Melania would love to dispatch him to the Sistine Chapel. But anyway, although I think she may have dispatched herself because nobody has seen her. But, you know, I find the whole thing ridiculous. I found a lot more offensive was that AI generated thing of he and Elon Musk and Benjamin Netanyahu sunning on the beaches in Gaza when there were bodies of children who had been bombed to pieces still buried in the rubble there. I found that a lot more offensive, his other AI stunt. But this is just stupid, and you have the incredibly embarrassingly supine Cardinal Tim Dolan, Trump's big buddy, saying, well, I hope he had nothing to do with it, instead of condemning him outright. You know, the whole thing, I find it's a non-story. It's one of these Trump things that we all end up talking about, which is really a bit of a waste of time. And, you know, as I said, maybe Catholics are offended by it. J.D. Vance isn't, and he seems to have appointed himself the new Pope anyway, so I suppose we should all take our cues from him.
And, of course, he was the last person to see the Pope alive.
Yes, indeed. Let's draw what inference you will.
Yeah, Cal Thomas, what do you make of this?
Well, Donald Trump is not famous for any expertise on religious matters. I can't remember the last time he darkened the door of a church. He can't even quote a single Bible verse. And yet he has just inaugurated a White House office on faith, something I wrote about in my column today. Look, I don't think you insult other people's faith or their leaders or whatever, especially time, as you say, during a mourning period for Pope Francis and the conclave that's coming next week that's going to elect his successor. It's not necessary. He can't claim it's the fake news media when he reposted it on his social media sites.
Let's hear Donald Trump talk about dolls, because there is a fear that many children in the United States will be unable to get the dolls they want and other toys, because the vast majority of them, including those famous American dolls, are actually made in China.
So let's talk about the tariffs. And I want to ask you about something you said this week. Got a lot of attention. You were at your cabinet meeting. You said, quote, I'm going to quote what you said, maybe the children will have two dolls instead of 30 dolls.
Yeah.
And maybe the two dolls will cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally. Are you saying that your tariffs will cause some prices to go up?
No, I think the tariffs are going to be great for us because it's going to make us rich.
But you said some dolls are going to cost more. Isn't that an acknowledgement that some prices will go up?
I don't think a beautiful baby girl that's 11 years old needs to have 30 dolls. I think they can have three dolls or four dolls. Because what we were doing with China was just unbelievable. We had a trade deficit of hundreds of billions of dollars with China.
When you say they could have $3 instead of $30, are you saying Americans could see empty store shelves?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they don't need to have $30. They can have three. They don't need to have 250 pencils. They can have five.
But you're basically saying there could be some supply shortages because of the tariffs.
We don't have to waste money on a trade deficit with China for things we don't need, for junk that we don't need.
Whatever about the 250 pencils, Marion, what child needs 30 dolls? Although, how many children do you reckon actually have 30 dolls outside of the children of billionaires?
Well, you know, there's so much to unpack here. Because first of all, somebody should really tell Trump that the gestation period for a beautiful baby girl is 9 months, not 99 months. They're not born 11 months old. You know, just minor detail. Let's start with that. It's such a clown. And then he was talking about 15-year-old girls with 30 dolls a bit after that. Let's look at one thing here. 10 million American children live in poverty. That's one in seven children in America live in poverty. They can't afford one doll, never mind three or 30 dolls. They rely on schools and food banks for their food to get three meals a day. So this, you know, the child poverty in America is on the uprise. So talking about dolls to me is a little bit of a nonsense when you look at all the other things that they're worrying about. But why pick on girls and with their 30 dolls? What about 15-year-old boys or 10-year-old beautiful baby boys and their video games? He's not talking about them having three video games or 30. I think this thing, he's asking Americans to prepare themselves for austerity and scarcity. But what is the point? Like, what, you know, this is kind of war talk in a way, where people say we've all got to ration and stick together. But this is all coming from an 80-year-old guy who's stuck in the 80s and has been spewing the same crap about tariffs for 40 years. This is a Trump single-person manufactured economic downturn. And he's asking ordinary Americans and poor Americans and the kids of, you know, billionaire Americans who want their 30 dolls to pay for it and to basically suck in their belts while he's building a ballroom and throwing himself a parade. I mean, what's going on here?
Matt, the follow-up question, please. Marion, how many dolls did you have as a young girl?
Millions, Cal. I pulled all
really?
Their heads off.
Well, that's
no, I think I may have had one.
I had a G.I. Joe, I think. That was the only thing I had.
I bet you did.
Okay, but what do you make of this, Cal? I mean, there is a serious point here, isn't there, that not yet, but it will be seen as the year goes on that American consumers are going to find that they don't have a lot of the things that they want available to them, or if they are available, that they're going to be an awful lot more expensive.
Exactly. The head of one of the largest toy associations in the United States has already said that, they buy these things, these products for Christmas in the springtime, and they have the supply. They've got to get it here over the ship or by air or whatever. And he's already worried about the lack of materials that'll be available for Christmas. So, and that, of course, is more than just the number of dolls or other things that you buy to put under the tree. It's also about the economy. And so I think it really is a warning by Trump, without him admitting it, that unless these tariff deals get done very quickly, that you're going to see shorter supplies of goods at Walmart and Target and department stores all over America.
Of course, he's a master of distraction, and we're falling for it a little bit here in what our next item is going to be, but at least we're calling it out, because let's hear a little bit about why he wants to reopen the famous Alcatraz prison in the sea off San Francisco.
Nobody's ever escaped from Alcatraz and just represented something strong having to do with law and order. We need law and order in this country. And so we're going to look at it. Some of the people up here are going to be working very hard on that. And we had a little conversation. I think it's going to be very interesting. We'll see if we can bring it back in large form, add a lot. But I think it represents something. Right now it's a big hulk that's sitting there rusting and rotting. You look at it, it's sort of an amazing. You saw that picture that was put out. It's sort of amazing. But it sort of represents something that's both horrible and beautiful and strong and miserable, weak. It's got a lot of qualities that are interesting, and I think they make a point.
Horrible and beautiful. Marion, it's 30 years since I was at Alcatraz, which is a tourist attraction.
That's right.
And it was closed 30 years earlier than that. The cost of reopening Alcatraz would be astronomical, I understand. The operating costs would be three times as much. But it's a bit like his wall. It'll never happen. But it's a useful one, isn't it? Saying, I want to put the immigrants out there, but they won't let me.
Well, you know, the thing is, I suppose, as you said, we have to call this out. These are shiny toys that are being thrown at us to distract us from other stuff, like the fact that the Washington, D.C. judge Beryl Howell slammed down Trump absolutely in his attempts to muzzle and silence law firms by intimidation and said Perkins Coie that it was absolutely unconstitutional. So there's a lot of stuff going on that he doesn't want us looking at. So he talks about, open Alcatraz. Let's remember why Alcatraz was closed, because it was three times more expensive than any other U.S. prison to run. And what they had to do, part of the expense was they had to transport raw sewage every day from Alcatraz back to the mainland. It was not a pretty place. It was an impossible place to run, and you could escape from it, by the way. So, you know, you're right. All of this is going on. The deportation things have all hit a wall. He's getting one court knocked down and slapped down after another. His million deportees is just not happening. Spending a fortune on court cases, it's all a mess. So, yeah, let's talk about reopening Alcatraz. You know, let's talk about it being beautiful and miserable. It's kind of, I remember Ron DeSantis, just when I was listening to that there, going on about the woke mind virus. Trump sounds like he's got a broke mind virus. He sounds like there's something wrong with his brain. He really does.
And Carl, respond to that.
Well, I was just going to say, it's not true that nobody's escaped from Alcatraz. Sean Connery did. But you're right, this is a distraction. You know, I'm reminded of the musical Chicago, where in the film, Richard Gere sings this little song called Razzle Dazzle Him. Take the attention away from what is really going on in the courtroom and make it about something else. And that's what Trump is a master at. That's what he did on The Apprentice TV show. That's what he's done in real estate deals, changing the subject, getting people's attention off the really important stuff that affects people's lives. And he's very good at it. He's been doing it for years. He did it with his previous wives, apparently.
One last one. So to go back to the more serious things. Marion, tell us about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s National Autism Database.
Yeah, this is really creepy. And I think it's been accurately described as a slippery slope to eugenics. Let's keep in, just to put this in context, he is slashing and burning all kinds of stuff at the moment in the Department of Health and Human Services, all kinds of really essential services, medical research, trauma services for 911 responders going back to 9/11 even. He's absolutely reckless in what he's doing, and he now wants to have a sort of a mandatory autism database. He claimed during one of the cabinet meetings, the sort of like, you know, authoritarian style cabinet meetings a couple of weeks back, that he would have found the cause of autism by September. Ludicrous thing to say. And now he clearly thinks that if he just gets all this information, takes information about every person who has autism, having said appalling things about people who had autism and totally untrue things, they couldn't work, they couldn't have relationships, they couldn't pay taxes, none of it even remotely fact-based, but it shows where his mind is at and where his thought process is at. And now he wants to take all this information about everybody in America who has autism, put it into some kind of a database. Who knows what purpose it'll be used for? Who knows who would have access to it? What, you know, it's just a really, you know, everybody wants to know reasons for autism and the best possible treatments. But the way he does it with his ham-fisted conspiracy theorist arrogance is just deeply, deeply unsettling. And if I were the parents of any children who are suffering from autism, I'd be really worried about this.
Yeah, I am worried about it. I have a grandson who is autistic, but I'm equally worried about a national database. We had this debate some years ago about a national ID card. The government's got enough information already on us. It's called the Internal Revenue Service. I don't think they need to get more.
Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown, thank you.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.